kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title today, something that I think affects all of us and I trust will be a blessing. And we're calling our teaching today, The Mind in Battle. The Mind in Battle. And I want to take this today from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 to 24. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, and we're calling this The Mind in Battle. And the apostle says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest of the Gentiles' walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Here the apostle gives some of the best teaching with regard to the battles that go on in our minds. He's revealing here some hidden truths that we need to really learn to get the victory in our minds. And there are a number of things that are recorded here, but firstly, we need to understand what the new man means. And just to go over again to remind ourselves, what he's saying here is that it means that we are regenerated. In other words, we are not in the old man, but in the new man that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, the second Adam. It means that we have become a partaker of God's divine life. We partake of God's life now, the power of his life to regenerate, to change, to make new. And that means that God's all-sufficiency to be found in the new life, in regeneration, means that he will work also healing and deliverance on our minds. You see, the new life is Christ formed in the believer. And we must always hold on to that in our faith. Whatever we go through, however the mind is under conflict or battle, I have the new life that is formed in Christ in me. It is no longer my life, but his life in me. That is our faith, our confession. It's got nothing to do with feelings, circumstances, what I've gone through or am going through. That is what we settle on with regard to our new life. But the mind has to be worked on. And we have to remember that. We have been made a new creation. God has put a new heart within us. He has changed these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. However, the mind has to be worked on. And this seems to offend a lot of believers, or a lot of believers battle with this and wonder why. Now, God in his infinite wisdom always knows what he's doing. Even when he calls us, he regenerates us, he makes us a new creation, he knows exactly what he's doing. And he has chosen in our new birth to work on our minds, to renew them. That is the mystery of God. That is the wisdom of God. Let God be God. He knows exactly what he's doing. So let us have confidence in that. Let us have belief in that, that he knows what he's doing. Now, we need to look at these verses. Because verse 17, and let's read it again, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." So we see several things here if we want our minds to be worked on by the Holy Spirit. We also have to do something. Now, we cannot, in our own strength, change our minds. You cannot change your thought patterns. You cannot switch on to auto-suggestion or whatever it would be. Your minds will always show you that it will dominate over you. You cannot bring your mind under control. You cannot bring your thoughts under control unless we do what God tells us to do. It comes back to obedience. And so it reveals two aspects here. Walking with God. So he says, "I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." So we do not walk like the world. There is the first thing, if our minds are to be worked on. We do not walk like our neighbour. You do not walk like your family who are not in Christ. You don't even walk like your husband or your wife or your child who is not in Christ. In other words, you do not savour the things that they do of the world. You walk differently. Why? Because it says the futility of their minds. In other words, their minds are on other things, the things of the world that God is drawing you and I away from. What for? To get to healing and deliverance in our minds. We do not savour the things of the world. Those that look to the world, that are held by their minds, they're also held in unbelief, in torment, in fear, and in confusion. That is what the world does. That is why God is delivering us from trusting in the arm of the flesh, because there's always a snare attached to it. Confusion, compromise, fear. All those things that we know we were involved in, we were held by, we are now being delivered and set free. And God is doing that deliverance in our minds, as we see. And he says to get this deliverance, do not walk like the Gentiles walk. In other words, like the world. You cannot be a Christian and confess the promises of God's word and also live in the world or have the affections, your heart in the world. You can't do that. And you will find that the new nature that is in you, Christ in you, will not let you do that. He will not let you fit into the world. He will not let you love this world. He'll let you be blessed by some things of the world, of course, because we still live in it. But he's not going to let your heart be found in it, wanting it, lusting after it, being dependent upon it. And so he begins to work that healing deliverance in our minds. And this is where the battle is found. Your battle, thank God, is not in your new nature, your new heart. That is settled once and for all. That is a miracle. But the battle lies in the mind. And our problem is we believe our minds too much. We have too much faith in our minds and our thinking and not in the promises of God's word. This is why we make so much of the word of God and the promises of God's word, because the word of God is going to challenge your mind, your thinking, where it's wrong, where you still have wrong programming. What the world programmed your mind to think and do. What came out of education or what comes out of your family life and so on. God has to undo most of all of that to renew the mind. So the first thing the apostle raises is don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the world. Don't even walk like your family as much as you love them. There are things that they embrace. There are things that they love of the world you can't. And it's called separation. And this is why God reveals the sword that comes right down in the family life. This sword, the sword of the Spirit, comes to divide. And he's going to do that. Why? Because you need deliverance, you need healing in the mind. So we've got to let him do it. We must not fight God in this. Otherwise, we do not get that deliverance in the mind. That is the first thing. Then the second here in verse 18, he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So he goes on to elaborate more why we don't walk like the Gentiles, why it's the futility of their minds, because he says their understanding is darkened. Their thought process, their thinking is darkened. And that is what God is delivering and healing you and I from. You see, we need to understand that we possibly live in the most deprived and ignorant nation that has ever walked, because they believe and trust so much now in technology. And the more you trust in technology and AI, the more ignorant you become. You become godless. And this is what happens, you see. And the enemy knows how to capture man's mind and imagination and so on. Because we live in a world today that is totally obsessed, held by this technology. You know it when you go out. You see, most people now are bound, are held by their smartphones. That is the devil's number one weapon that he's using. Their minds, their hearts are totally held on them. They're on them most of the time. They're awake during the daytime. Now, we don't say you can't have a smartphone, but what we do say is, who is boss? Is it controlling you, or are you controlling it? That is the question, because that is a hindrance to the mind being delivered and renewed. You have got to give this technology, you've got to give this thing over to the Lord and ask Him to help you, to balance you, so that you get the right heart and spirit behind this. We know that God's using technology. He's using it right today, now, this moment, in this room. And praise God, we're able to get together for fellowship round the whole world. Wow, I mean, that is a blessing. But all of this has got to be kept balanced, because the understanding is being darkened, is being alienated from what? The life of God. And so Satan attacks the mind because he doesn't want you experiencing the life of God being ministered to your heart and spirit. He doesn't want us hearing this teaching today. He doesn't want us having fellowship, getting into this room today. He doesn't want us experiencing the life of God, not only to learn about Him, but to get healing and to get deliverance in our minds. And so when the minds are darkened, which he speaks about here, he is referring to demonic oppression. These are demons that try to oppress the mind, to keep us ignorant, to keep us blinded in our hearts from God and from His word. And he's going to try all sorts of things to keep us away from God and the life of God, the Spirit of God being ministered to us. And so he's worked and worked and worked on this right through the centuries until we now are experiencing what the apostle says in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And here is what is happening right now with the falling away. And you know this well. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 onwards, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. So they have the truth. They know the truth in their heart. They have a conscience. They know, have an understanding what is right and wrong, but they suppress it. In other words, they push it out. They will put their minds and hearts to other things so that they don't have to listen to their conscience. And that is what is happening today with smartphones. The obsession with smartphones is with people so that they suppress the conscience. They don't want to listen to the conscience, that's where God speaks to man. So he will turn to technology. He will turn to these phones so he doesn't have to listen to this. Look how subtle the enemy is, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. So God shows himself. He shows himself through creation and so on. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man is without excuse. God has revealed enough of himself, even in the fall, to reveal that there is one true living God. because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in other words, they had an understanding of God. God is speaking to them, touching their life, touching their heart, but they ignore it. Professing to be wise, they become fools. And now he starts to speak to the religious people who become religious and pious and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In other words, starting to worship dumb idols. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And this is where witchcraft came out of all of this. Demonic activity, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. And this is why, again, we are seeing in the last days, particularly child sacrifice happening. And news media is trying to suppress this, trying to cover it up. But God will not let this be covered up. It is coming out. And children are going missing each year, many of them. They are now being sacrificed in witchcraft. I read an article where a witch was being interviewed and said, why is it particularly a child to be sacrificed? It's bad enough with an adult, but why a child? And do you know what the reply was? When the blood of a child is shed on the altar, more power is released. That was the reply. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in the lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So violating what God created at the beginning, man and woman. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased or reprobate minds to do those things which are not fitting. So again, they suppress the conscience. They do not listen to their heart, their conscience, that's saying these things are wrong. They push it out, they suppress it. And of course, we have the technology today. We've got these phones and everything where, or music, you can put this all to your ears, you can push it out. Can you not see what the devil is doing now with all of this? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Wow, look at that, inventors of evil things. We are dominated by it now, brothers and sisters. Our shops, our marketplaces, internet are filled with all these evil inventions that are coming out. You can't even keep up with it. Disobedient to parents. Children unruly. Gone riot, wild. Children suffering with oppression. Bipolar. 6 and 7 year olds, completely unheard of 20, 30 years ago. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So Paul says, in the conscience, the heart, they know what they're going to get. Most of humanity in its rebellion knows what they're going to face. Fearful, and they suppress it and they push it out. They try and say there is no hell. It's fear-mongering. It's trying to control people, but they know where they are destined for in their heart of hearts. He says it. And that is what we're living in now, brothers and sisters. The blindness of the heart actually means that they are so confused in judgment. They're so confused in moral and ethical issues. They are so confused now in just general common sense, everyday things. That is what it's speaking about. That's what's happening. Well, we carry on. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. We're still talking about the mind in battle. And this is what God is delivering us from. I don't think we appreciate, brothers and sisters, the actual healing and deliverance that God is working on our minds. You know, when we make it into glory, we're going to see what his handiwork did with us. And this is why we're going to give him all the praise and all the glory, that only God could work on man's mind and heal us. We know today, as it says in verse 19, that greed is epidemic. It's everywhere. Man will do the vilest of things to get what he wants. We're seeing now in the great falling away what man and governments will do. The corruption that's found in governments that's led by greed. Money, wealth. We know that the world is controlled by greed. The lust for money. As the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is evil. It says the love of money is evil. It's when money controls you. And there's the problem. And there it is. He says it right there in verse 90. Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So in other words, they don't feel anymore. There's not that love, that gentleness, that compassion, that patience that makes up the fabric of society. They don't have those feelings anymore. Those feelings are going. And what takes over from those feelings? Lust, passion, anger, greed, murder. You name it. What the apostle has already said back in Romans 1. That's what takes over. Because that is what they're thinking in the mind. They're thinking all those evil thoughts, lustful thoughts, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, bitterness. They are all emotions, feelings that start in the mind. And because they're in the mind, the body, the flesh picks it up. If you are angry, that anger comes out in your face and your eyes. because it's going on in your thinking. As the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of your thoughts. Whatever you are thinking, you are that. That's what the Bible says. And so this is why God works on the mind. He's renewing our minds. And this is why I said the first thing he begins to do, he separates us from the world and how it thinks and acts. You can't go along with it. You try and stay in the world and call yourself a Christian, you are bound in your mind, your thinking. You've got to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing to start to get this deliverance and healing in the mind. That's where we've got to obey God. Just do it. Now, God knows what he's doing. He knows how to heal us. But we put up that fight, don't we? That resistance. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, I want to keep company with that person. I like them. Well, they're not. God says they're a bad influence on you. They're hindering you from getting your mind delivered. Now, it's not to say that we're to completely isolate ourselves. That's not what we're talking about. But there are people out there that you cannot spend too long with. They have very wrong demons in them. And they're going to oppress you in time. Trust me. I've been there. Well, then he goes on in verses 20, 21. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So he goes back to learning. He challenges, are we learning? Are you learning? Am I learning? These are things I have to ask God and be honest and humble. Lord, am I learning? Show me. I want to get it right. These are the things that God wants to hear from our heart and confession. He won't turn us away. The word of God, if it's being taught by the anointing, should always challenge us to go before God and to be real and not hypocrites. That is what good teaching does. It gets you to talk with God and be real and deal with these real issues that still hinder us and hold us in the mind. And he will. That is what preaching and teaching is fundamentally about. This is why I always encourage you, have that notepad there and just write down one or two things that you need to talk to your Father about. Because he loves us. He comes with healing and deliverance in his wings. That is why I always believe these meetings are to heal us, to deliver us, to bring us a step closer with our Heavenly Father. Otherwise, what's the point of meeting? What's the point of sharing today if it doesn't bring us closer to Almighty God? It's a waste of time. We've just been religious. Like sadly a lot of professing Christians are. God means business with us and we should mean business with him. Otherwise, don't follow him. You're just being hypocritical. And that speaks to all of us. And so the apostle, he raises the question about those who call themselves Christians with a question mark. Are they? That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, he's not talking about two natures here, but he's talking about you can go back to what you were. and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, The Mind in Battle, because that is where we have to be healed. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you are thinking and you're battling resentment, bitterness towards a brother or sister, that is what you are. And so you have to bring that before God. You've got to confess that. You've got to acknowledge that, Lord, I'm battling. I can't forgive that sister. I can't forgive that brother. I've tried and I've failed desperately. I need help. I need to have a different mind, a different thinking. I need to think love thoughts towards that brother, that sister. Because I've failed. I'm at the end of myself. Do you honestly think God is going to turn his back on that? No, that shows you mean business with God. And you guess what? You start to find your mind, your thinking changes. You're starting to think love, the love of Christ, towards that brother, that sister, because God puts his love in your heart, my heart. We cannot love the unlovable. We cannot go that extra mile unless God is in us to do it through us. And that is where we have to decrease that he increases. And that's why he tells us that we too take up our cross daily and follow him. That the cross deals with that selfish life that is in us, where we'll always put self first. That is what has to be nailed spiritually to the cross. And God will do it. He will do it. Don't ask me how. It's a miracle, but he does it. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's like putting on a cloak. You put something on you. And that's what it means. And this is why we find at times the mind is in battle. Now, actually, I want to encourage you, if you found that your mind has been in battle recently, that's a clear sign that there is a battle going on and there's going to be victory on the way. And this is where your faith comes in. This is where you stand upon the word of God. This is where, okay, my mind is under a battle. I don't understand. I don't understand what is going on. It doesn't make any sense. But what I do know is the battle is won and victory is on its way. That's what you have to do sometimes. Your feelings are all over the place. Your emotions can be all over the place. And why is that going on? Because God is working on your mind to bring healing and deliverance, and the devil knows. And so he suggests and says all the lies and all the things that he does. And we come right back to the promises of God's word. And that's why they're so valuable. Because when you read that, you can say to the enemy, I didn't say that. I didn't write that. God wrote that for me. And you are a liar. The mind is the key to this, brothers and sisters. And that's why the word is a sword. And that is why we're in spiritual warfare. And we have to deal with these lies. We have to deal with these lusts. We have to deal with the suggestions of these demons. And guess what? God's helping us as we stand firm, as we confess, and we keep with it, and we keep with the word, and we keep coming together, and we keep listening to the word. Guess what? God starts to deal with it. Because at the end of the day, you and I can't do it. But it's achieved as we obey and do what he asks us to do. Hallelujah. So walk close with the Lord, because that's the key to all of this. And this new nature is God's creation for you in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have received God's gift, God's new creation that he set in his Son Jesus Christ, and he now lives within our hearts in his fullness. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the battle is already won. We have to look to Calvary. We have to look to the cross. And that settles it. Nothing more can be added. Nothing less can be taken away. It's a complete and finished work. And so, Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for the healing and deliverance you set in this word today. And you are setting my brother and sister's mind free so that they experience the mind of Christ, that peace that only God can give. Thank you, Father, for our fellowship. May you bless my brothers and sisters, preserve, bless and keep them always when they go out and when they come in. Bless them with that divine health, guidance, leading of the Holy Spirit. Guide their footsteps day by day. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.